Thank you, Russell. Our scripture for today is John 3:16. You will find it in your pew Bibles on page 1052, or for many of us, in our memories, a verse that is probably memorized more than any other verse in Scripture. Even though we've memorized it, we may have forgotten it. I know my memory isn't the best. Sometimes we need to look at what the context was for these verses, including John 3:16. The context for this morning is that we are in the Christmas season, the 12 days of Christmas, and we are entering a new year as well, and we want to again remember who this God whom we serve is. Today we are beginning a series on Christian giving, which will culminate in a return to the Gospel of John that we are going through. But this morning we're going to look back a little bit, chapter 3. and so this morning we're going to begin with a giving God. And then the next few Sundays, what does it mean to have a giving God? Who are we as Christians? What is Christian giving? And examples that we find in Scripture. So read with me. John 3:16, or listen along and remember this great verse in your mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. So my grandfather, the one I've mentioned before who flew B-17s over Germany, he is turning 90 years old this month. They're throwing a great party for him up in Buffalo this month. He has to be the sharpest memory I've ever come across my entire life. He could recount the 30-odd missions with just every little detail. His time in Europe, in England, he could share about his childhood. He share about when he first met his wife, and he'll share stories about when he went to the grocery store one day. And he'll remember all of these details. And sometimes it would just drive us crazy because there was a point to the story, but it took so long to get to it. He was sharing what he wore and how he drove to this place and the odometer, what it read when he got in the car, everything. And we were just waiting for the point of the story. And sometimes he would just forget about the point of the story and just keep talking about what he was doing that day. Unfortunately, he will not remember this party that we'll throw for him. He is in the late stages of dementia, and he has trouble even remembering the names of his children. It is amazing just to see that progression of someone who had the best memory I've ever seen lose it little by little. He was born with a great memory, and sometimes I envy that. Some of us are born with great memories, and some of us, well, not so much. I would say that I wasn't born with the best memory. I was going to tell you a story about how forgetful I am, but I forgot it. I mean, I need to carry my day planner everywhere I go. And if I don't write something down, I will forget it. If I offend people, it's usually because I've forgotten something. I've probably made more enemies because I've forgotten things than anything else. So if you want me to remember something, sit me down and make sure I write it down in my day planner. And 90% of the time, I'll remember it. Well, I thought I'd tell a story of someone else who forgot something. This man named John Gilbert, he was an actor way back during the silent films. Does anyone remember John Gilbert? Know of him? His career was ruined when sound was added to film. Apparently, he didn't have the voice for movies. But he was a great actor when it was in the era of silent films. He also did stage plays. And so once he was asked on short notice to fill in, to play this character, the heroine's father, in this play. And he remembered his lines fabulously. But he was having the toughest time remembering the name of the character he was playing. And the name is Numitorious. I don't know the play, but the name of this father was Numitorious. And so a friend suggested that as a mnemonic device, he would remember the book of the Bible, Numbers. And from there, he could remember Numitorious. And so that evening, he rushed to the stage with a renewed confidence and gave his opening line, "Hold, 'tis I, her father, Deuteronomy." Well, when it comes down to it, whether you have a great memory or a terrible one, we are all forgetful. We all forget things. And that's why we have the Bible. I mean, that's one of the reasons God has given us this wonderful gift of the Bible, because we forget things. And how wonderful that these great stories of God working in this world have been preserved, not by memories, but by pen and paper, that we can remember these stories of how God has done great things with his people. Well, maybe we forget, or maybe sometimes we don't even realize what has happened in history or in our lives. Maybe we don't realize what God has given us. I remember the first time when I realized what my parents had given me. I just cannot believe the things that my parents have done for me. First of all, my mom carrying me for 9 months without even a thank you all along the way. And I'm sure it must have been painful, but even more painful when she popped me out. All the pain that she endured. And then what she gets is a little baby that all it wants to do is eat, sleep, and poop. And my mom just joyfully takes care of this little baby, feeding the baby, putting the baby to sleep, cleaning the baby's messes. And as I grew up, I learned to talk, and I became very proficient with the words no and mine, but still, my parents would give and give to me. And then the sense of entitlement, like, well, I want more, I need more, whether it was the terrible twos or older than that. But then there was this aha moment that I experienced. And maybe part of it was that I realized that my parents, they're human. They're just like me. And they're giving. And they're generous. And they give without expecting a thank you. And they continue to give. And I think the older I get, the more impressed I am with how my parents lived. I'm sure we all have stories of our parents, or stories of how you were parents, our grandparents, and the generosity that you give to these people. Well, whether we have forgotten that God is a great giver, or we have never realized it, we're going to start the year 2012 by remembering that our God is a giving God. And what better way to start the year than to remember the one we worship? So let's begin in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the seas and the sky and the land, the sun and the moon and the stars. He created creatures in the oceans and in the sky and in the land. And then he created us. And he breathed into us the breath of life, the spirit of life. This is in Genesis chapter 2. I'll read a few of these verses. This is the spirit of our giving God. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not sent rain on the earth. And there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the ground and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. A beautiful gift. And then it continues on. God is creating a garden for man. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." So God creates this garden for man and puts man in it, and gives him an all-you-can-eat buffet of wonderful fruits from every tree except one, just saying, "This is my gift to you. I don't expect anything in return. I just want to give this to you." And then realizing that man needed something else to be healthy. The Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, it was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall in a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And so God continues to create and give gifts, man to woman and woman to man. And of course we know how the story continues, man and woman disobey. But even after the disobedience, God did not just wipe them off the face of the earth, but he gave a promise that all things would be made new through the seed of the woman. A plan of rescue, another gift, a gift that was realized in Jesus Christ. And thus begins the Holy Bible. It begins with gifts that God just lavishes upon creation and humanity. And God has been giving ever since. The people of Israel, the Hebrew people, they are often the benefactors of God's gifts, of rescuing these people out of slavery, making them a nation, of giving them manna from heaven and quail, of giving them the law so that they know how to live good and holy lives, that they can get to know the God who created them. Into the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament love to remind us forgetful disciples of Christ that God is in the business of giving, giving, giving. So here are just a few in the New Testament. The youth during Sunday school, we went through them all. The right to become children of God, John 1:12. Wisdom, God gives wisdom, James 1:5. Our daily bread, Matthew 6:11. Good gifts, Matthew 7:11. James 1:17. Eternal life, Romans 2:7. 1 John 5:11. God gives life in your mortal bodies, Romans 8:11. God gives victory, 1 Corinthians 15:57. God gives strength, Philippians 4:13. God gives insight, 2 Timothy 2:7. God gives the right to eat from the tree of life, Revelation 2:7. God will give us the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. God will give us a white stone with a new name on it, Revelation 2:17. God gives us the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. In turn, the Holy Spirit gives us life, 2 Corinthians 3:6. The Holy Spirit gives us joy, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. God gives us Jesus, John 3:16. In turn, Jesus gives himself, Galatians 2:20. Jesus gives life to the world, John 6:33 and 51. Now that's a pretty good list. It's not exhaustive, but that's a pretty good list of the gifts that God has given us. But if that wasn't enough, just to cover all the bases, Paul writes this in Romans 8:31 to 32. What then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Graciously give us all things. If God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, certainly he will give us anything else that we need or hope for. He will graciously give us all things. Graciously. My roommate during my time at Duke Divinity School, his name is Simeon Law. He's currently a pastor in New York City. He recently became an uncle. His brother gave birth to a little girl, and they named her Grace Law. That's a beautiful name, Grace. Grace, it's a beautiful word, too, and it's a word we find throughout the New Testament countless times. The word grace, it comes from the word gift, or to give. When you see grace in Scripture, it is about giving. The writer is talking about giving, and it's usually the giving God, the God who gives us all things. God lavishes upon us grace upon grace. In John chapter 1, we read in the NIV, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. In some versions, they say, grace upon grace. This is what our God is all about. Our God is a giving God. But why? Why is our God a giving God? Well, in John 3:16, we learn. God so loved the world. God is a giving God because God loves you. You know what a person loves by what they give to. We know the timeless verse, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We find what we love by what we give to, or to whom we give. And God gives to us. God's heart is with us. God is a giving God. And we will consider that in the next few weeks, how our God is a giving God and how God's heart is with us and our response to it, our free response. God gives freely, not expecting anything in return, but as a response, a natural response to the grace of our Lord, we want to give back to this wonderful God. Well, this morning, if you have yet to meet this wonderful God, this giving God, our God is ready to give to you all things, beginning with Jesus Christ, his Son. I encourage you to come forward during this last hymn of invitation and receive all that God gives. If you are looking for a community that emulates the generosity of our giving God to this world, then you've come to the right place. Mount Hermon is a giving church. And I encourage you to become members of Mount Hermon Baptist Church. You can this morning by coming forward. And if there is anything else that you would like to share with this community, your family, I encourage you to come forward. Please join me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Our daily bread in all things. Our physical sustenance, our spiritual sustenance, our emotional sustenance. Lord, you have promised to give it all, to give all things. Lord, we look to your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who continually gives to our lives so that we may be the sons and daughters of God in this world, who is searching for this God who gives. Lord, we ask that we may emulate the character of our Lord in generosity to one another. Let us remember as we begin this new year that you are, above all things, a God who loves to give. We pray these things in the name of the Son who was given to us, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And number three.